This is definitely going to be one of those things that's like, I didn't know that was my fetish until Jez told me on the podcast.
Oh, puddle sex. That's why I've never felt satisfied until
Jesus
now.
Jesus Christ,
telepathic
Jez.
Orgasms.
I want you to turn into a puddle and I'm going to drink you.
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates but you, Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Earl Grey, hot.
Hello and welcome to the Incomplete series, your incomplete guide to every television show you've never watched. This is a podcast where we watch the first episode of a TV series and then the last episode of that TV series and try and figure out why that show existed. Joining me to do this is my very good friend and the man to my left, Scott. Scott, how are you?
I'm very, very well. Thank you, Morgan. Thank you for inviting me on today.
It's my absolute pleasure. It's always nice to see you and this is no exception to that.
Mm. It'd be hard to cut you out.
It really would.
At this point.
Yeah. Mm.
Well... I'll let the viewers behind the curtain for a second. we're at Scott's house, so he'd have to.
Of course.
Quite in position.
Yeah. Mm. Scott, do you mind if we just come and record and you just sit outside? And,
well, yeah.
Try and keep it down as well.
That's why I introduced him first, because I want to pay tribute.
Okay.
You got to pay tribute first.
You got to pay tribute.
And also, I didn't even introduce you first. You still interrupted me.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I always find a way.
Aaron, how are you?
I'm excellent, Morgan.
It's wonderful to see you.
You too. Thank you for the invitation as well.
Oh, you know, I mean, while I don't legally own this house, I lay claim to it.
You do dish out the invitations.
I do.
I got people here every night.
It's true. Scott's private event manager.
Well, we're on 24 hours.
Where was my invitation?
Well... Jez, you'll get
there. Just happened to be walking past the store or you guys walking in here.
Scott's a busy man. I gotta run a pretty tight schedule for
I got
him,
a so. Lot of people to host.
Exactly.
People and podcasts.
Mm.
For example, Gabe Kaplan was over last night.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay.
There's just one for you.
He's only
famous
60.
Poker player Gabe Kaplan.
Exactly.
He's actually 70.
He's only 60 years young at heart.
Lastly,
he parties like a 60-year-old.
Yeah,
I'll tell
you
that
much. Lastly,
0 to 10 was all a blur anyway, so it only feels like he's had 60 years on this earth.
Lastly, Jeremy, how are you?
Yeah, I'm well. A bit annoyed that I wasn't first. A bit annoyed that I didn't get an invite, but I'm here anyway.
I'm changing it up.
Trying to close the door on me, but I stuck my foot in before.
It's a standard Saturday night for Jazz.
It's really,
invite,
what happened.
But I'm here anyway.
Okay. Introduce Scott first. Jumped in on that. Go to Aaron. Jumped in on that. And I even tried to introduce you, and you wouldn't let me do it.
Give me the attention I crave, all right? That's all I want.
We gave you a fidget spinner to play with. We thought that would distract you during the intros.
It's true. I'm even forgetting what show we even watched. But we watched Alex Mack, or The Secret Life of Alex Mack, this time around.
Secret World. Yeah, I kept Googling Secret Life.
I think that's another podcast from many moons ago. Sorry, Secret World, of course.
Yeah.
It's a whole world.
It's not just
Alex
a life
Mack.
That's secret.
No, it's a whole world. It's
you're not allowed
world.
To know.
No.
You didn't watch it, did you? You're not meant to.
Well, I didn't watch it for this podcast. Were we supposed to?
You shouldn't have, because it's a secret.
I just thought we'd just guess what happened in those episodes.
Yeah, we're really breaching confidence here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not even really meant to talk about it.
We're not?
No.
Okay. Well, this conversation seems to be going nowhere, so I'm going to leave it go. What did you guys know about Alex Mack going in? I figured we all know a lot, because this was our childhood right here in a nutshell.
Yeah, that incredibly annoying intro music was very familiar. And that's the one.
It's very catchy.
Yeah. It is very catchy.
And yeah, the first episode was also very familiar. Just, I suppose, the whole setup of the thing with the truck and the nuclear waste and everything that makes sense and no questions shall be asked.
Probably because the intro to the episode post episode one is just like a quick recap of her getting toxic waste spilled all over her.
Yep.
Sorry, spoiler alert. Yeah, but we're probably all in the same boat.
Mm.
Same for me. I remember watching a fair bit of it, but... Yeah. So long ago that, 1993 would have been like 6 or 7.
Is that old?
93, 94.
I wasn't 6 or 7 in 93, but when it was on, you know, would have been like late 90s, I reckon.
I guess anyone within our age bracket will have definitely have just fallen ass backwards into some viewing this at some point in their life.
And if you haven't, that's your fault.
Yeah, exactly. That's
we're not going to apologize.
No. We're not here to apologize.
It was one of the champions of the 5 to 6 p.m. Time slot.
Big time.
Yeah. Weeknight
Big
ABC.
Time.
Yeah.
Mm. One of that, the, Feral the, TV. And,
for the older kids, that one, that five to six slot.
Mm.
Yeah.
Up late. One of the rare live action Nickelodeon shows.
Yeah, there's not that. Nickelodeon shows are there?
I think after like 2000, there was
Bump in the Night.
Yeah, no, it was like the Angry Beavers, Rugrats, Hey Arnold, Cat Dog. All the classics.
Mm. Nickelodeon's a spin-off of MTV, right? Is that right? Or they're owned by MTV? That's what it said in the credits.
Okay.
That's what it said in the credits.
I wouldn't care to speculate, Scott.
Mm, okay. Mm. I think it is.
Could be. I felt, jumping ahead slightly to the first episode, I felt like a lot of it was shot like a Beastie Boys film clip. Lots of like weird, like low camera angles, okay, and like lots of tilting and just like people...
Weird kind of close-ups on the villains' faces and stuff.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. A bit Baywatch Nights as well, just the way the camera kind of twisted in and maybe nauseous.
There's a lot of interesting filming techniques used over the course of this
Pioneers.
Show.
Pioneers. Mm. Visionaries.
The Citizen Kane of Nickelodeon.
of 5 p.m. on the ABC.
Either that or they were just getting people straight out of film school because they didn't really care.
Yeah, and they could pay them less money.
Mm. You were once straight out of film school, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have done that?
Did you work on Alex
Mack? Yeah, absolutely. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but some of the production design in this... In these two episodes is leaves a lot to be desired. Like, oh, cool, just a vacuum cleaner spray painted silver.
Yeah, so like 1960s Doctor Who tactics.
Yeah. How else would you suck up a 17-year-old girl that's turned into a puddle? The show's internal logic had us believe that she was basically just your regular old puddle. She was going through the drains and stuff. So you just suck her up.
Her powers were just really all over the shop. It was just like, it felt like they just made them up on the fly for whatever, like, convenient.
Yeah, like, yeah, she can.
Sort of Superman-esque, right? Yeah. Like, oh, let's throw this one at it.
Maybe she can shoot electricity from her finger and, she can make, like, people's hats float.
Yeah, she's telekinetic as
hats
well.
Hats and only hats.
Yeah, only hats.
Like, there would have been, like, I just feel like.
Sometimes pens.
Yeah, beanie at a pinch.
You can't not give. You don't want to give it credit, but it's still a children's show. So it's like, well, how angry can I be at them just making up rules as they go along?
Mm.
I thought then, for 1990, was the first episode 1993?
95, maybe?
Maybe 95. I thought the visual effects of her turning into puddle wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's kind of bad. For 93. Not that bad.
Yeah. They worked down a nice displacement mat when people like walked behind her when she 94. Was, you know,
yeah,
when she was transforming.
I don't know what that means, but yeah, sure.
I'll show you later.
I agree. Okay.
I'll show you later.
I mean, we're getting pretty stuck into it now. Should we just bash out the first episode summary and get into it?
That would be very wise.
Why the heck not?
Exactly.
Episode 1 opens with Alex preparing for her first day of school.
I should just face it. I'm boring. Plain and simple. Boring.
Meanwhile, her dad and sister are working on a new compound at the breakfast table, GC-161.
There's a real buzz at the plant about it.
Alex, though, is an outcast and struggles through her first day.
Why don't you watch where you're going? Yo, check out her lunchbox.
And on her way home, she absentmindedly crosses the road in front of an oncoming truck, loaded with the compound from the lab. The truck crashes and sprays Alex, which causes her to glow orange and gives her special powers. Telepathy, being able to generate electricity, and the ability to turn into a puddle.
What's happening? I think that's her.
Alex's sister and her best friend Ray help Alex reckon with her newfound powers, while the brass from the lab attempt to track her down with their handprint ID unit, patent pending.
I will say this one thing straight off the bat for this show. Vastly superior scientific references in Smallville.
Like, you think though, the first thing...
Than Smallville?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like, not even, like, the fact that Smallville is also like 10 years older... It highlights how insane that is.
You give me a lot of credit. So they're just like looking at
I'm not giving it a ton of credit. I'm just like saying...
Just to refresh the listener's memory, Smallville did have a kind of electric superpower man.
Electrolyte imbalance.
Who had an electrolyte
too much Gatorade.
It says it on the bottle, so what do you expect?
For me, that was the thing that stood out. I'm like, I mean, they put 5% effort in, so I'll give them that.
But in their, like pre-laptop era laptop...
Oh, that was brilliant. The graphics
looking at
on
just
that.
Like a... Some program that takes up the whole screen. It's just like a model of a molecule. Just,
and then rotating.
Like just throwing in random generic scientific terms. It was all just gibberish. And then when she gets doused in the chemical and they're trying to track her down, the guy from the lab. Actually, he looked familiar. Did anyone...
I think
he's a real creepy looking dude.
Yeah.
The dude with the
high collar.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like the poor man's Daniel Craig.
He's had that outfit straight out of David Hasselhoff's cupboard.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, she leaves a handprint at the scene of the crash and, like, oh, we can use the handprint identification system to track her down.
I knew this would come in handy. This useless invention.
What?
All we need is for the kid to stick his hand in this handprint ID unit and we'll nail him.
There's a lot of loose science. Well, I don't know.
That's far from the issue.
I don't know it's better than Smallville. I think you're giving too much credit.
It's electrolyte imbalance, Jeremy, and they get electric powers. It gets more credit.
This show's supposed to be fun, and like at least that's the scientific inventions are fun.
I guess Smallville wants to be taken semi-seriously.
Yeah, whereas this is a children's show, and so it doesn't really need to. They could have said electrolyte imbalance, and it would have been fine.
Comparing apples and oranges.
Okay. Well, anyway, I want to talk about...
Stop twisting the knife.
Morgan hates oranges, all right? Just let him hate them.
Just...
Okay, you've got there's orange skin about all Alex over Mack. The table. You've just been eating orange.
Mandarins. Stop getting into that.
Don't lie to listeners.
I'll do what I want. I want to talk about that creepy dude, the greasy Daniel Craig.
Yep.
the woman goes, like... Andrew, what's the boss's name?
Danielle Atron.
Danielle, yeah.
Atron is a real evil sounding boss
name.
It is.
Yeah, what's the name of the bad guy from Crash Bandicoot?
Isn't it Dan Atron?
Yeah, that's right.
No, it's something Tron.
Something Tron. Yeah, anyway. Seems like it was ripped right out of that.
No, Cortex. It's Cortex.
Close. That's still clearly ripped off.
Same sound, but different.
Can we pivot into a Crash Bandicoot podcast?
Yeah, well, I think so.
Fucking love that guy.
Oh, yeah.
So she allocates him, says to Greasy Daniel Craig, I need you. Now you got me thinking about Bandicoot.
I think you'll come find it goes, ooka, ooka, like that.
In my mind, it's,
Greasy Daniel Craig.
Yeah,
yes.
So she says to him, like,
they'll be ready for the GC-161 transport later this afternoon.
Of the utmost importance.
And they got like a contractor in, just some guy off the street, basically. He's like a mailman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just leaning against a wall.
If it was that important, maybe get someone else.
Or like, do it yourself.
Do it yourself.
Can I get lunch on the way? And they're in like one of those old style US mail trucks.
Yeah.
With like
yeah.
The open doors on the side and the...
And just some loose drums of these chemicals just rolling around the back. So as soon as he makes a sharp turn, they just come pouring out.
But he was so like, when she's talking to Greasy Daniel Craig, like, this is the utmost importance. And he's like, consider it done. And walks up to a contractor, hey, can you deliver these chemicals? he really phoned that job in.
He walks up to him and says like, you're the best we have. Something like that. What? Like,
what about
you're the only guy there?
Yeah, three people at the company.
You're the only person that I can currently see. Do you want the job?
Get someone else. Get someone. Why wouldn't they get one of the guys handling the chemicals to drive the truck? Like, I don't know. There's a lot of problems there.
Yeah, well,
a lot of problems.
That's a good point because the lead up to them putting the three drums in the truck is like they go through all these like double key locks and stuff, and they got they go into like this facility. They've all got hazmat suits. And they just give it to a fucking male guy.
I want you guys to explain something to me. There's a scene in the show where it's after Alex has been doused in this incredibly dangerous chemical and her father comes home and he's like, oh, I gotta go find Alex. And then Alex is like, gotta turn into a puddle because or else he's gonna see. Mm. And he walks out of the kitchen.
Yes.
And he's holding a glass and he just drops it.
Does he?
And and leaves his wife to just clean it up.
They're kind of talking. He's like, no, I got to go find Alex. He's holding a glass of water and he's just hand hovering over the end of a table but about a foot and then just drops it and walks off.
He just drops it and walks off.
Does not that night. Like, does not turn back.
Does he?
And she's just like,
what a crazy person.
I
was like, is this some sort of like... Is
a glimpse
like
into the domestic abuse going on.
Well, like a motor neuron disease or like, what's going on? Like...
He's just really into puddles.
He is very... Yeah, he is.
I'm so proud of my daughter.
I think we'll get into it in the last episode, but there's some serious neglect going on in this family.
Yeah.
In a vain attempt to remain topical for this podcast, it's a better character development than Game of Thrones.
Oh. Ooh,
zing.
You got him.
Take that. D.B. Weiss.
That's your mark it down. Hot take alert.
Yeah.
One of my favorite.
You listen to this and just single tear.
That's the
he also worked on Alex Mack.
All of the criticism.
This is good.
Didn't get
work.
To him before this.
It's really going to sting.
Yep. Yeah. TIS was his safe place. Mm.
My favorite line of the show is when after Alex is doused in the chemicals and she's glowing yellow, goes to talk to her sister and she explains what happened. And her sister's response, she's like, "Oh, I got hit. Yeah, this chemical spilled on me, and now I'm glowing." And her sister goes,
you're not clever enough to make this up.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. That seems like a...
Her sister really ragged on her three or four times.
Like, it's like, I just really feel like it's... anyone could have made that up. It's not that really complex. Like,
There was a comment towards the end where it was like, well, at least your life's going to be interesting or something now.
Before
that,
why is the consensus that she's just boring as all hell?
Because her sister's 15 and is like, you know,
A genius. They try to kind of position her as like a loser outcast, and they have a voiceover of her saying like, oh, it's the first day of high school, I got to go try to define myself with fashion. Mm. And then it's just like the cut to the most 90s thing ever, just in like baggy jean shorts, trying on a backwards cap.
Trying on like four different hats.
Yeah, yeah.
I love finding my identity through hats.
But they're just like her sister nice shits on it so
oh, thank
nice.
You. It contains 95% of my identity. I don't know if you've noticed.
Yeah, it does. Take it off, I can't tell
I would,
who you are.
I would say that at its core, this show is really about hats.
Mm. Mm. I think that's core. Where we're going to end
that
up.
Was
our final
the underlying
episode. we've got D&D writing for us, so it'll be a satisfying end to the podcast.
I enjoyed in one of the opening scenes when they were, it was kind of a montage where they were producing the chemicals and they were wheeling it through the hallway with some guys in the hazmat suits, and it kind of pans down to on the ground.
Ooh,
and there was just a giant spider there that starts like glowing radioactively. It's like, why is there like a giant tarantula just wandering around that lab?
Absolutely.
That would freak people out.
Would have been a regular tarantula until it came in contact with GC161.
Well, I think it's a person that turned into a tarantula.
Ooh.
I think that's what it did.
What is animals?
To spin on. If you classify spiders as animals and not aliens, sure.
As puddles?
No, but like in animals, they could
turn
into anything, couldn't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No.
Puddles?
Well, they can't turn into objects.
No, I mean talking anything living. They could just be...
They could turn into a spider.
Could they turn into bugs?
Plants? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Plants.
You just like turn into like,
yeah, like a head of lettuce.
Fern,
an amoeba.
Oh, and then you can get eaten.
Yeah, well, it's a risky run.
Yeah.
Same when you turn into like a pig. It's not easy being an animal.
Yeah. So what that book Animal Farm is about?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, they all turn into heads of lettuce. It's been a while since I read it, but I'm pretty sure that's
Also Jessica Alba in this, which was a really
that was a surprise.
I did not recognize her.
That's why they couldn't put a lot of money into the sciencey stuff, because they spent it all on Jessica Alba. Yep.
Ma'am Scott, relax, we're just messing around with her.
Chill out, Jessica, go back to practice.
All right, well, look, I think we've wrapped it up there for episode one. Let's go to the finale and break this down.
The chemical plant is about to release the drug that gave Alex her powers to the public, marketed as a miracle weight loss drug. The CEO, Danielle Atron, stands to make billions. She plans to skip town and blow up the plant to destroy the evidence as soon as the deal goes public, with the help of her creepiest hell right-hand man.
GC-161 is fully ready to ship. It'll take hours to hit the shelves.
Meanwhile, Atron finally finds out it's Alex who the truck crashed into in the very first episode.
It's so obvious, it's almost sickening we didn't figure it out before. Alex Mack.
So Atron kidnaps Alex and her parents and locks them all up in the chemical plant. There, her parents finally find out about Alex's powers.
I just don't understand. Alex, we could have helped you. We could have been there for you.
But with Ray's help, the Macs manage to escape just as the plants blow up. And the FDA are waiting outside to arrest Atron after they were tipped off about the dodgy drug deal by the bumbling truck driver from the very first episode.
What if I told you there was an accident with the kid, and he was drenched with the chemical and Ms. Atron covered it up?
What if I told you your mustache was falling off?
With the plant gone and Atron arrested, all's well in Paradise Valley. And Alex's dad has made an antidote for her powers, so she has to decide whether or not she keeps them.
I like the open-ended ending.
Room for a spin-off.
Before it's time. Still waiting on it.
Game of Thrones wouldn't have been that bold.
Nah. So our mailman's back.
Yep. Our hero.
Somehow he's lasted the whole the whole run of the show as just like a bit part character who crashed the truck.
And he's only finally realizing that the company that he works for is probably not that great.
Yeah.
There were problems, Lars. There were lots of problems and you know it.
I guess it's an R word against yours then.
Yeah, when they try to cover up like a chemical spill on a kid. By like tracking her down and trying
but
to
kill
her.
But he's okay with that at the start. He's like...
He's pissed off at the kid.
Yeah.
Why is he wearing a fake moustache when he goes to the police?
Because he wants to be anonymous.
Yeah, but I don't think that's how whistleblowing works.
Just don't say... Yeah, it doesn't. You just don't say your name. They don't know who he is.
Well, yeah.
No, but his name's on his shirt.
That's true. Put the moustache over the name.
Change shirt? No?
But none of that's going to hold up if he's like, if he doesn't admit to who being who he is. I can't use that as evidence.
And then the moustache starts falling off. Yeah, during.
His attempt at whistleblowing is about as half-baked as Atron's plan.
By the time that happens, I will be long gone with $1 billion to my name.
Don't think the US government's going to track you down immediately?
Money's not traceable.
But if that's serious of an issue, he's that worried. Why does he bother trying to remain anonymous? Just get there and...
Yeah.
If you're not anonymous, you can like sort of your argument would carry more weight because you can like you know, exactly. They can look up and see that you've worked there for years.
Jez, I'm afraid I'm going to have to explain something to you.
Yeah,
he's a dumb dumb.
Okay,
they're playing him as a dumb dumb.
He's a dumb dumb.
He's not going to get any better. He also looks like a weird Edward Norton. Do you get that sort of vibe?
Yeah, creepy. Mm. Also, what was creepy was that towards the end of the episode when. Sort of the day had been saved by Alex getting a friend out and all of the bad guys had gone to jail.
Mm.
He was just kind of like weirdly looking on from a distance when they all sort of like the family reunited and were hugging and he was just kind of like nodding along happily.
No, I probably have a family.
Like my job here is done.
Like in reality, if you make this show like a little like his story is not happy.
No.
He's a very lonely
sad. Yeah.
And at the end when Alex is thanking him, because she was like...
The whole time you knew it was me, but you didn't say anything because you knew I didn't want you to.
And he's just like kind of smiling and nodding. Yeah. He has no idea what she's talking about.
No, no, no.
I don't even think he knows who she is.
Yeah.
No. I'm sorry. Well, have we met?
Yeah. As we said, he's not particularly bright. He's just... He just sort of...
Why was he in the show the whole time? And also, Greasy Daniel Craig's been written out for creepy
little
like, bald bearded man.
Yeah, yeah. He does like a real kind of drawn-out Jack Nicholson voice.
Yeah. Mm.
GC-161 is fully ready to ship.
In the shells within 3 hours.
Really trying to flex it. Or kind of like a cross between Jack Nicholson and John Malkovich, maybe.
Oh, yeah, and I was thinking Cypher from The Matrix.
Yeah. A bit of that as well.
Yeah, he's so weird.
I did have a note here of what has not aged well, and it was definitely the lie detector.
Bucket hat?
Probably that more now. But the lie detector test and the that random character who came out of nowhere has to go through. The detective's asking all his questions, and he's failing. He's like, oh, now I gotcha.
Boom.
He's the one that approved.
Completely inadmissible.
He's the one that approved the drug.
Ah, right.
Yeah, he was the corrupt member on the board that approved it. And also, this is a weight loss drug?
Formula 161.
And they're like, if it ever gets out that everyone in America can turn into puddles and shoot electricity, we're doomed. What?
I'll have $1 billion.
This
by
is
then.
Your, like,
I'll have $1 billion.
You're getting $1 billion in one day of a release.
Spend it all in one day.
Well, their marketing was, you know. Pretty good marketing campaign. They had TV ads running with just rippling bodies. But that's like, what? That's the plan? That's the evil, evil empire is creating a weight loss drug with really horrible side effects.
I tell you what, a henchman.
Wouldn't you want to make like super soldiers or something with it? They can turn into puddles.
Well, why would you release it to the market? Why would you sell it to the government? The government would be all over that.
Use the powers that it gives you. Don't like the weight loss side effect. That's irrelevant.
The US government would be like, sweet. Marines this.
You can control things with your mind.
Yeah.
why didn't she have some of it? She could have got like so much money.
You don't need money once you're a puddle person.
Once you have
you can do anything.
You're a puddle. You just swim into the ocean and become one with...
Like, I think it would have been very good for society if it got out and everyone got on the puddle.
Because it would... Got on the puddle.
Got on the puddle, that's what they call
it. That's what you're calling it now?
How fast can you travel as a puddle?
Oh, it seems
that's
like
a good question.
Pretty fast. It would solve a lot of congestion issues.
Yeah, because you could just... Real like, thin pipes, real thin tubes all around the city.
Yeah. All space issues because you don't need a bed. Just go to sleep in a bucket. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Replace roads with tubes.
How would you... Oh, and the other thing is transporting things because she can... In the first episode, you don't see this, but in the final one, you do. She can touch stuff.
She can grab people. In the first episode,
them.
She couldn't do her clothes, but then her sister's like, oh, if you concentrate harder, maybe you can take your clothes with you.
Yeah.
Shit puddle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate my sister.
I got a real problem with Alex Mack's parents.
After post-reveal?
They need to get away. She needs to get away from them. Because like as soon as she gets captured, right?
She's in a tube.
And then they come in and they're like, what have you done?
Yeah.
Like, why didn't you tell us?
Didn't we bring you up with the understanding that you could
You could tell us anything, anytime.
Somebody just kidnapped your daughter and you just found out that she's been like doused in this fluid that your company made.
You can stay in that tube. You can think about what you've done.
Oh my God. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. I had a real issue with that as well.
Very manipulative.
And Dad's just walking around, touching the glass, trying to get in. Like, what are you going to pry it open?
Oh, yeah. And then
Ray comes in.
Just smash.
Yeah, sure. Like, oh, here's a pole.
That's just regular glass?
Yeah.
He just pulls a pipe off the wall and then...
Aaron, you're wearing a baseball t-shirt. Based on that Ray swing, what do you reckon his batting average is?
Oh, he's batting 1,000.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I would have thought so.
He's the 1,000 runs a game? Is that how it works for baseball?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty good. I would argue.
One hit, you can do 1,000 laps of the swing.
If you hit it high enough, yeah.
Mm. Well, I would say that with that
that's good.
With the power that went into that swing, the balls are probably disintegrating just from the...
turning into
puddles.
Turning into puddles.
Through the stratosphere. Yeah. Burning up.
But the reason he never made it in major leagues is because he can't hit a traditional wooden or aluminium bat. He can only use like a pole that's ripped off the wall.
He needs that really thick end to grip.
Every time he walks out to bat, he just rips part of the stadium off.
Yeah, he just pulls one of the poles from the fence off.
So he got banned.
Good.
Yeah.
Poor Ray. I do want to talk about, and I tried to say it earlier, the henchmen that just abandoned Atron.
In the helicopter?
Mm. God, yeah,
straight away. He gives the wrap it up.
So she's running out as they go to blow up the plant, which does seem incredibly unnecessary.
With a briefcase full of $1 billion.
A $1 billion briefcase. Yeah. And is it Ray who grabs it?
No, the other guy.
She's about to make it. She gets grabbed and held up. And immediately, as soon as like
he puts her in like the... arms under her arms and like hands.
The full Nelson.
Yeah. And then immediately the guy in the helicopter just does a wind up. Yeah. They just pull out.
He's like 16. Jump
out.
I've
got $1 billion. Come on. Help me out.
He's like, nah, we're out. Let's roll.
But then I guess as the helicopter takes off, you see all the cop cars coming.
Yeah.
So they're like, ah, fuck this.
Yeah.
But for $1 billion, you'd risk just quickly going out and.
None of them are armed.
Punching
like, they're
a
happy enough to be. They're happy enough to like blow up facilities and kill kids, but none of them have weapons. Not even the people picking her up in a helicopter. All the guards just have like batons.
And vacuum cleaners.
Like military gear, vacuum cleaners and batons.
Army of the future.
Can we talk about Alex's friend who discovers her powers at the start?
Yes, Lewis.
He's like walking around talking to everyone who listen on his flip phone.
Yeah.
Trying to tell him about... Talk to Ray. He's like, Ray, that was really fucked up what happened today. And Ray's like, oh, you better get off this channel because they're listening. He's like, no, they won't be listening. And then straight away, a van comes up, pulls him in.
Yep.
Anyway, what I was getting at was he breaks and reveals a secret by they blindfold him and start sharpening pencils in front of him and he freaks out.
Classic technique.
What does he think's happening there? They're putting his fingers in like a...
grinding bones. I think they're like turning on like a power saw or something. Yeah.
Is it? Or is it a pencil being sharpened?
If you like put a fake hand on the table... And you can like put a barrier so people can't actually see where that fake hand goes.
Mm.
You can and you like start stroking it. People like actually feel those sensations.
Mm-hmm.
If you blindfold someone and turn on a pencil sharpener,
they think their pencils being sharpened.
Yeah. What do you think?
My pencils. They were the perfect sharpness.
My pencil hands.
He's just gonna sharpen them down to tiny nubs.
Yeah,
he's good pencils.
Collection of, his collection of Derwents.
Well, I guess we solved it then. That's why.
Yeah.
My
Derwents.
He's a famous watercolorist.
Not my Derwents. So scenario, Jeremy's kidnapped by the Taliban and they're torturing you by over-sharpening your Derwents.
Yeah. He's gone. He's dead.
Sorry.
I would offer Jez up if they pay me a box of Derwents.
Yeah. They're nice pencils, Mods.
I guess they are really nice pencils. So
I enjoyed as well one thing that Atron said when she was actually firing Alex's dad. He was saying he was going to go public with some of the information. She was like,
I'm sure I don't have to remind you that you took an oath of secrecy regarding all of your work here.
Oh, yeah. Legally binding.
Yeah,
obviously.
Yeah.
I had that written down. Legally
non-disclosure
binding.
Agreement.
Like, what?
No, I'd just take an oath.
We agreed to a
blood pact. Blood pact.
That's how the scientific industry does it.
Yeah. Mm. Just cut palms and shake hands.
They've never heard of an NDA. They don't know what it is.
Well, that's stronger than that's legally stronger than an NDA.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true.
Do you guys think they dabbled in... So, Alex being a teenage girl, do you reckon they got into the whole like puberty growing up side of things.
Puddle sex.
Yeah. Puddle sex is where I'm going with this.
Zap dicks, maybe.
Were you actually going for puddle sex, or did he just...
I was going to lead us
to okay.
puddle sex.
Jerking,
so like
just,
when you just dialed it up to
a... Hang on, hang
jerking
on.
Jerking Ray off with the mines.
What?
So what? When you lift objects...
What?
You just changed...
No, hear him out.
So... The mechanics of telepathic powers.
Yes.
Is it like an invisible force grabbing the outside of an object and moving it? Or are you lifting the object? So could
either
you, like,
way, I reckon you could make
wrap
it
wrap an invisible telepathic hand around Ray's dick and jerk him off.
Which base is that?
Between like second and third.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, where can make that? Is that still in baseball?
It's kind of like... it's like kind of like what happens in Avatar with the hair sex.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're on a similar sort of plane of bases.
Yeah, equally poetic. I'm
glad
that
you brought the baseball analogy in, because as we know, Ray's an excellent baseball player.
He sure is.
So just getting it's like the new over the pants hand jobs, telekinetic hand jobs.
Yeah. Would it work?
Yeah. I reckon that'd work,
because you could kind of like grab him by the dick with your mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you could, I don't know. Can you move the grip area? Like, if I wanted to telepathically pick up a pen, would it just lift the whole pen? Or could I say I want to pick up one end of the pen and let the other end dangle?
Yeah.
But is it like a telepathic
hand? That's how I like my hand jobs.
How much can you finesse it?
Do you think there's a porn parody out there of this? Just telekinetic hand jobs.
And puddle sex.
And puddle sex.
I don't.
Well, I do not want to watch the puddle sex.
She has puddle sex with... I think she has puddle sex with her parents at one point, because she grabs and they all turn into a puddle.
That's an outrageous statement.
That's pretty intimate.
That is... Not every bit of contact is sex, though.
Surely that's the most intimate you can ever be with someone.
What?
You both turn into goo and form one match.
Oh, yeah. I mean, these, like... She's taking
sex
us
is not
to
the only type of intimacy, okay?
Yeah, she's taking us to, like, a post-human society. Once everyone's puddle-able,
mind melt
at another level.
The singularity. Yeah. That's what you're getting at.
And has she ever done... So, you know, she grabs one of the guys. I can't remember his name. One of her mates.
Yep.
And they puddle away from somewhere.
Yep.
Has she ever, like, fucked up the splitting of the puddles and, like...
Yeah.
Does she get separated?
Like, would she completely reform, or is she stuck in puddle form while...
Or, like, the fly, you know, or something? They're just like half of each other.
Oh,
change it back.
That did come up. I reckon that's something. I wonder if they explored that during... Well, actually, we should speculate. They would have explored that, her becoming stuck as a puddle at some point.
Yeah, for sure.
And stuck in the sexual abilities.
Someone would have just been like carrying her around in a jar.
Bottle of water, and then somebody's going to drink it or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And then shit,
she explodes out of them. Like,
could she go through a person,
like alien,
like the Matrix?
You know,
probably. Could she be consumed, drunk by a person accidentally?
And then it would be boiled. Like, it'd be like the scene in the Matrix where Neo flies into the agent, and then
I'd say most of this is probably addressed in the first 7 or 8 episodes, and then from there it's just softcore porn.
Like, I mean, Doogie Howser got to...
episodes 1 to 8, body horror.
And then softcore porn.
Doogie Howser got to a pelvic exam in this third episode.
That's true.
So I think eighth episode is conservative for softcore porn.
That is actually ludicrous.
Is it softcore porn, or is it just Ray getting telepathic hand jobs?
How graphic do you think they would have... Do you think they would have shown...
No, they'd just be like them sitting in class... And he's just like sitting in his desk. The teacher's up the front and she's at the other one. And then they cut to her like looking at him. And then Ray is like in his chair. Like, Alex, fuck. Yeah, it's like a bit of a prank between friends.
Classic gags.
Yeah.
Can you do the quivering noise from the David Hasselhoff show, Knight Rider?
Why?
Because I feel like that's the noises that he would make.
When he gets into
he's entering the car.
This is definitely going to be one of those things. It's like, I didn't know that was my fetish until Jez told me on the podcast.
Oh, puddle sex. That's why
puddle
I've never
sex.
Felt satisfied until
Jesus
now.
Jesus Christ.
Telepathic orgasms.
I want you to turn into a puddle and I'm going to drink you and then expel you through my urine. And that's...
Oh man, there's so many directions you could take this. Yeah. Like I said, I mean,
it's very versatile.
So if you drank her, would your body absorb some of the nutrients?
And she just comes out all malnourished,
half formed.
I don't know. I don't think she gets...
I reckon
I want answers.
No, she's completely insoluble. I don't think you can. Okay. I don't think any part of her liquid can
like mercury or
dissolve
something.
Yeah.
You get poisoning from having her on you?
Probably.
Are there side effects from like...
maybe weight loss.
Excessive turning into puddles? Can other people don't have the same sort of fucked up DNA that she does as well. So when she turns some random person into a puddle, surely they come out like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah, like what senses do you have as a puddle?
As a puddle.
Because she can, it seems like she can see, because she can go places.
Yeah, and she can speak.
Oh no, now what am I supposed to do?
She can still communicate.
It's,
can everybody hear, or is she going direct into people's minds?
Maybe into people's minds.
Does she need to breathe? Like, can she swim? Like, because she goes through pipes.
Maybe she's just like absorbing oxygen.
So puddles are a higher.
Take it directly out of the water.
So they're a higher.
So maybe just like power.
There's oxygen
across the
in
ocean.
Water.
Yeah, higher, I mean. More evolved form of being. Then
she has gills
because they can talk to people.
Yeah, exactly.
Minds.
That's what we're talking about. This
puddle,
is the
puddle people. This is the next step.
This
of
is
evolution.
Our future.
Puddles.
Saving space.
As I like inadvertently, this show just working making up rules of puddles on the fly. It has discovered the next chain in evolution for us. All right, so obviously we're starting a cult now, right?
Keep drinking
of
water
course, yeah.
until it sticks.
yeah, the leader just gets to have puddle sex with everyone.
Who's going to be the leader out of this?
Look, I'll humbly accept
Can we
puddle join together?
Ooh.
And then we can all be the leader.
Mm. Yeah? I was going to say we need to have like a telepathic hand job competition, and whoever gives the best one, they get to be leader.
Who's judging,
whoever lasts
who's
the longest.
Who's judging that? Well, one lucky fan. And number one fan, just gets four different hand jobs over 4 nights. We'll live stream the whole thing.
It's got to be double blind, though. Double blind?
Well, I don't know.
I guess you could do it from anywhere.
You could do it from the other room.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you could be up on a...
How
not
far
the other
can
room.
You...
I think you have to see him. So, you could be up on, like, a...
That'd be... Can sight based for telekinesis? This, so, he's just... to see his dick, though?
No. I think you just have to imagine it. because this would be great for long distance... This would be great for long distance relationships.
True.
You still keep that, you know, keep
you
the intimacy
maybe you need, like,
in your relationship.
Sort of, if you're on the phone, you've got the, be like, all right, well, I can't picture your dick. Can you describe it to me real quick? Like, oh yeah, I've got it again. All right, here we go.
It's terrible.
Is it? Do you think it's? Is it only hand jobs that the puddles can do? Tell
me. Well, I mean,
you
is it?
Fist him
no. But it's not like.
Fair enough.
There's nothing confining it to just a hand.
Yeah.
True. We just don't know how much finesse you can do, as Jeremy touched on.
The hand job is just the negation of sex.
Yeah,
you
could
like
you could tweak his nipples at the same time.
Mm.
And that would be part of the
like
content.
That's the only reason why it's a hand job.
The telekinesis is fairly limited in the sensation you can provide.
Yeah,
it's like just force.
Yeah, like a small gripping force. But you could apply it at multiple places at one time.
So you could rub
it's not even
a I don't want to reveal my tactics for the competition.
Actually, you're right. No, we don't want to get
save
too
much. For game day.
Game day.
I might slip a little telepathic finger up the butt.
Well, yeah, you're just giving us more to work with. I mean, again, it's all about the finesse, and we don't know.
And it's all about what the competition winner, the lucky fan, likes.
Well, you got to work that
just
out.
Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should.
So that means, exactly right. So we can't.
That's this whole conversation.
After each night,
like
I could shove my
hand down his throat while I'm doing a telepathic hand down his throat.
Well, he might be. I was gonna say he probably be choking.
Yeah.
We can't watch the replays of us doing it because we can't get ideas.
But you can't
they're all separately recorded and then we'll have a live screening. And
That's what I'm saying. Like, you don't.
This is going to be epic 4 nights.
We'll do it at Khan.
You're confining yourself too much if you're just thinking about hands. Like, this could be a whole body experience.
Mm. This is not. We're thinking within like the human.
Exactly. We need to get beyond
scope of a human.
Our limited minds.
Get in the puddle.
The possibilities are literally endless.
They are.
I did not see this going this direction. we're in so deep. I don't even know where we are.
It's always that possibility.
I feel like I just black. I feel like I blacked out. That whole thing.
This recording has been going for weeks.
what time is it? all right, look, I think we've gone as far as we could possibly go with speculation as to what happened in the show. Softcore porn for like 80 episodes. A lot of hand jobs, getting real weird, and then it sort of went. It went back to what it was in the finale, which we saw. So I think we definitely would go back and watch the softcore porn episodes,
of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But let's get out of this and get into reboots.
Who wants to start us off?
I'd like to.
Yeah,
I like the sound of my own voice, so I get to talk more. Let me just pull up my reboot. So I actually, this is an idea that I'd sort of thought about previously with other things we've watched. And I've always found it interesting when you see like the, you know, the henchmen. What I thought would be interesting is if you actually had more of an adult version of this. So same thing transpires.
Of a telekinetic hand job.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about.
That sort of stuff.
What kind of adult?
So same thing happens.
What kind of adult?
There's hand jobs in here. I've got notes. Don't worry.
Sexy henchmen?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're all in lace, obviously.
Right. Keep talking.
Okay. So same thing transpires. Mm-hmm. Chemicals, douse. Anyway, rather than having like that incompetent henchman that we had, it's a little more of a
ruthless paramilitary force. Yeah, so they just go to Alex's house and shoot her in the head.
Yeah, but you've got, they actually have a real serious mercenary employee who's like got to track her down, and it's just his day to day of like he starts up with his day to day just like I work for a massive chemical company and I'm here to just cover things up and basically
a fix up,
clean some puddles. Yeah, that's what he does.
Yeah, the janitor, cleaning
the puddles. Oh, the janitor. Okay,
sorry, so it's a drama focused around just a henchman and his little and what he has to do to track this girl down.
But he sounds too important to be a mere henchman.
He's probably too.
He's a henchman.
I'm pivoting.
The henchman.
He's gonna be two steps down. It's called The Secret Work of Mac Alexander. Rob McElhenney will be Mac from It's Always Sunny. Obviously, he's the henchman.
He can play the part.
And he's got to track him down, get it done. And he's already trained to do a lot of the stuff anyway.
Yeah.
With
ocular
his martial arts
downs
and ocular pat downs, a lot of that stuff. Yeah, it's The Secret Work of Mac Alexander.
Shirt under the duster or no shirt?
Depends on the mission. Like, oh, no, shirt. Like when he's working, shirt under the duster. But when he's just at bars and just hanging out, those scenes, shirtless, obviously.
Mm. Off the clock.
Off the clock, yeah. But he's got an off the clock
duster. A lot
of bar
scenes in Nickelodeon shows.
Yeah, naturally.
I feel like, is that already a show or a movie, like a comedy about henchmen? It has to
I'm
be.
I'm not sure.
It absolutely.
Something would exist.
I feel like I've heard it before.
Yeah.
But essentially,
I can see it.
Essentially, the idea is just like if this show was a little, not a kid show, you made it something else, and then it was from the perspective of the evil people rather than the good guys.
Yeah.
Still a kid show?
Yeah, it's still a kid show, though. But way more violent and a lot more sex.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, you know.
Like grown up kids. Like,
yeah.
Like 18 and over.
Like Alex Mack meets Game of Thrones.
More, yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So, like. A lot of jerk off scenes. As many dicks as I can cram.
Do you reckon she could do like the
that's where Game of Thrones falls down. Really.
Telepathic crushing of skulls.
Oh yeah.
Ooh.
You could make this show incredibly violent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, we've just said that she could turn into a puddle, go inside someone, and explode.
It sounds like a Mortal Kombat fatality.
Yeah,
it does.
she could be the next character in Mortal Kombat 12. Or
that'd be pretty. I think.
Sick.
I'd play her.
Fight.
I don't think we've mentioned that the chick playing Alex Mack is the younger sister from 10 Things I Hate About You.
Ah. Yeah, she is too.
Yeah.
She was also in Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah, she was in a bunch of stuff and then
with Joseph
Korea. She played the dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought so. Known as John Lithgow.
Yeah, and she was in she was the villain in season 4 of Dexter as well.
This is obviously her when she's a lot younger.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump in with my reboot now. So as we were talking about before, the puddle people are moving us into a post-human society, and I think that's a very good thing. Looking forward to our puddle utopia. But this reboot is a dark chapter on the road to that. So when the puddle people are taking over, they're kind of taking by force any human holdouts want to keep their solid bodies.
Don't want to be a puddle.
Yeah, they got to go. They got to go.
Okay.
So they're kind of sweeping across the world. So. This story just focuses on a couple who are just say held up in a forest, kind of Rambo style, just last two humans, as the
The quiet place,
yeah, the puddle place, the damp place, as the puddle army closes in, and it's just kind of focuses on them as it as their world, their human world, sort of falls apart. I'm mostly in it for I really want a scene at the end. Where they've been like forced onto this, say, clifftop. So it's pouring rain over like a raging sea, and they're together as puddles just like roll in towards them, and their final moment as humans is to jump off the cliff into the water and just splash, and then they're gone.
Huh.
It's called Solidarity.
Ah.
Oh, nice. Jess, I believe you'll probably ask the same question, so I'll let you go.
I would prefer that the final stand was them maybe in like a cabin, their holdout in the woods, and they were getting attacked by the puddles on all sides, and they had set up a whole bunch of booby traps around the house that were just
What sort of booby traps would you
like? Like ShamWows and other ultra-absorbent things, maybe, you know.
Bunch of sponges.
Yeah. Female sanitary products.
And just like just like a
shitload. Very absorbent.
Yeah.
And kind of like just like a shitload maybe of like blow dryers around the house.
Yeah. Or like those Dyson air blades. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. That's where it's at.
That's the build that wall
with the puddles.
That's the boss.
Yeah, this plane's never going to work. They're too vulnerable.
Yeah, but they can come from everywhere. You'd be thinking a long day of like defending your cabin, and you just go to rehydrate with a glass of water. Boom, puddle person inside you. You're dead.
No, just eat some paper towel to wash it down. Yeah, dry it up.
Just throw packets of noodles at him. Just dehydrated food.
You could freeze them and keep them in your freezer as well.
You could.
Just saying.
Well, that's a good way to imprison them.
But then at some point...
Can they freeze?
I think so, yeah. I'm going to say yes because I want a scene where they keep a bunch of them in the freezer and then the power gets cut.
Oh,
and then they melt. And then they come and get them and they go run away.
If they freeze, can they like still think?
Yeah.
No.
No?
How would they go in
No, you got to move.
How would they go?
Move to think?
You're gonna move to think. You ever try to think, not move?
It doesn't work.
Too hard.
How would they go like
wind up brain
in like Texas
brain freeze
across the road there and like asphalt, like piping hot asphalt?
Yeah,
like, are they gonna just
up into the clouds?
So
yeah, conscious gas.
So really, the elements
rained out somewhere else.
Winter and summer, not their time to shine. So they only come out in spring and then hibernate the rest of the time.
But that's part of their plan is they try to get evaporated and go up and form rain clouds. And then in what there's a scene in like this movie of yours where like they've got a tin roof and you start hearing raindrops and then they just freak out. Oh my God, they're here. And then they just start forming on the roof.
Yes.
Ah, this is great.
Mm.
Oh, man.
When's it out?
2021.
Ah.
Nice.
Yeah. Along with our, it's at the film festival. It's the Solidarity.
Yep.
And our four part jerk off flick.
Okay. Yeah.
Man,
gotta give the fans all that.
So a hard hitting documentary about jacking people off telekinetically.
So hard hitting.
Well, yeah, and solidarity.
Yeah,
you know what would make a lot of sense is to have the ShamWow guy as one of them.
Mm. Oh yeah,
because he's obviously staunchly against moisture.
If anyone was gonna last to the end, it would be him and Billy Mays
fighting off.
Isn't Sham
spin off of that? You could do that same one. The puddles are out and about, and the ShamWow guy is kind of like I Am Legend. He just comes out in the daytime and just like ShamWows all the puddles up.
I thought you mean maybe he's like Rowdy Roddy Piper in They Live.
Well, it's similar. Actually,
only he can see that people are puddles.
Oh yeah,
everyone else thinks. Mm.
Did you say Rowdy Roddy Piper?
Yeah,
it's just Roddy. Isn't it Roddy Piper?
Rowdy Roddy Piper. Rowdy. What was the joke from the
Rowdy Piper?
He was Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yeah, Rowdy. Yes. He was a wrestler, wasn't he?
Yeah.
All right, so Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yes.
And Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah.
And ShamWow.
And ShamWow guy. Now, ShamWow guy's in the spin-off. I Am ShamWow.
Body slamming puddles. I Am ShamWow.
I Am ShamWow. He's just tracking down puddles in the middle of the night, ShamWowing them up. And you can do another one with Billy Mays, which would be great.
Yeah.
He's got like one of those like Swiffers. Like real good mops. Just can get anywhere. Hi, Billy Mays here. Oh, just echoing in the night. Scaring puddles. Well, quite the reboots there. Let's move to lists.
Lists. I have a list. It is from IMDb.
Oh.
And it is called Celebrities I Think or Find They Attractive.
They Attractive? Sorry,
they attract.
That's how it's worded?
One more time. Celebrities I Think or Find They Attractive.
Makes sense to me.
Convincing.
By Bat Banks.
Oh, I like that name.
And in no particular order, we've got Chris Evans, hot and attractive. Chris Hemsworth, hot.
Oh,
Ben Barnes, attractive. Oh. Colin Firth, attractive.
Wait, what's the distinction?
It's up to you. Charlize Theron, pretty. Paul Newman, hot when he was young.
Not so hot now.
Is Roddy Piper in there? Or?
Again, not so hot now.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Kevin Costner was hot and attractive when he was young.
Hmm. But now he's just hot.
Maybe he's neither.
Now he's just pretty.
Maybe he's
pretty, yeah.
Michael Jackson was hot when he was young.
Ooh.
And we have Jessica Alba in this list who is pretty.
Oh, not hot or attractive though.
No, rough. Just pretty.
Is there any like real outsiders in there that you just wouldn't see coming?
Well, it's got Anne Hathaway, pretty when she was younger, 2001 to 2007.
How old is she there? Like
13 to 16.
I feel like she's like she'd be like mid-30s now.
Yeah,
she doesn't look that different.
No, not at all.
She really hasn't changed in the last 10
years. Would you describe a young Marlon Brando as cute?
Yeah, famously cute.
Yeah,
could have been a contender. Could have been cute.
Yeah,
he looked real cute coming out of that fucking swamp in Apocalypse Now.
I was gonna say that's all I can picture is Apocalypse Now when he throws the head.
Oh wait, sorry, that's not him that comes out of it. That's Martin Sheen.
It is pretty cute, though.
It is pretty cute. Martin Sheen coming out of that puddle, pretty cute.
It was a cute Vietnam War flick.
Back on puddles.
Marlon Brando lying on that couch in that dim lighting. Very cute.
Yeah, it's his dreamboat. Yeah, there's like 65 names on there. For young, cute, hot, attractive, pretty. You decide.
Well, right. we don't need to.
We've got the definitive list there. So
I can refer to it.
It's the whole point of the list, Aaron. This is your segment. You should know that. They decide for us.
Batbanks decide. Batbanks. We get no say.
Well, final thoughts on Alex Mack, guys. I'm just going to move us along.
Pretty standard kids show.
Yeah, it's all right.
Lot of room to move, I think, is what we've covered
more than I ever thought we would in this.
Definitely worth revisiting.
As I said earlier,
through a modern lens.
Hone it a bit.
Maybe exploring the telekinetic powers a bit more.
We've made that very clear.
They really were heavy on the puddle. Less so than the zapping telekinesis one.
But the puddle doesn't really have, like, apart from just moving around, the puddle...
Yeah, and just like getting out of tight
spots.
Can
she shoot electricity out of the puddle, or is that a no-no?
Good question. In the opening titles, it looks like she just like zaps somebody and kills them. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, she does that a lot.
Just turns around, looks real angry, goes...
Huge body count in this show.
Yeah.
What does she do at the end? She like releases some giant EMP over the whole city.
Yeah.
That was weird.
It was very weird.
Just for the hell of it.
One last time, I'm going to destroy everyone's electronic devices.
It's kind of like that new movie, Brightburn. She's actually just...
Okay. I'm going to electrocute the whole city. Just this one last time, just to really flex my powers.
What a gas. I know about you guys, but I do not plan to go back and watch any of this.
Probably
no. Not that we were expecting to.
No, we weren't.
This was never going to be a hidden gem.
No, no.
We knew what we were getting into.
What surprised me most is that there's some shows that we've watched where I've just felt an overwhelming sense of nostalgia. I didn't get it here, and I don't know why.
It was just the theme song, I think.
Yeah.
That's all that really...
Yeah, okay. I must not have watched as much of this as I thought as a kid, because it didn't really resonate with me that much. What did resonate with me, though, is the puddle sex.
So. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm. It's something in your core.
Big time.
It's hit some sort of...
Something.
Some need that you didn't know that you had.
Well, something's been shaken loose, and I'm not the same now, so...
Only one way to satisfy it.
Damn straight. Well, anyway, Kel, we've got something exciting for you.
Or any other lucky listener.
Or any other lucky listeners.
Any other Patreon level 5 subscribers.
What do people need to do to enter this competition?
Jesus Christ.
We should send us a 25-word puddle sex erotic story.
25 words?
Yeah. I'll give 50.
Oh,
no,
2,500.
2,500 puddle sex story.
No, 25. I like it. If you can make an erotic puddle sex story in 25 words, then you're worthy of being jerked off by the whole...
Something just dawned on me. We need to find some... There's got to be some fan fiction out there about this. Surely.
I don't know.
About us? About the four of us?
Yeah, about us, yeah.
Yeah, Cal's written a lot.
No one really knows who Cal is, but...
It makes me uncomfortable searching for fan fiction based on a teen show.
Children's show.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, let's not do that. You're right.
You'll get arrested.
Okay, anyway... we probably should leave it there before we get any more
for legal purposes.
Yeah, exactly, for legal reasons. So where can people find us online, Scott?
You can head to theincompleteseries.com. You can find all of our other episodes there. There's plenty to choose from. Now 50 up. 50.
Whoa.
Congratulations, fellas.
Big 50.
Congratulations.
Can you give us a party horn, Scott?
I knew it was coming. There you go.
There we go. I kind of hate them both, really. But
does that mean the next one will be a clip show?
It is. Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Well, you better get started.
This.
Yeah. Draw straws. So you can head there. You can listen to a bunch of other episodes.
Make your own clip show.
Yeah.
Send it in.
Send the best of.
We'd love that. 25 words or less.
Mm. And if you can jump onto iTunes and rate, review, that is always appreciated.
Or any other, your preferred podcasting platform. We don't discriminate.
We don't discriminate.
I don't remember the last time I even opened iTunes, so I'm not going to hold it against anyone for not doing it.
Of course not.
Themselves.
Yeah. I listened to one of our episodes recently on Spotify.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Can you leave ratings there?
Love to live dangerous.
I don't know if you can.
Morgan found a way.
I found a way.
Yeah.
It's, for some reason, I couldn't get the episode loaded, and I just had to, I'm like, I want to listen to it, so I had to go through Spotify, so it was great.
Mm.
Thank you, Spotify.
Here's my recommendation. Go on to your favorite forum and go to the... You know how every forum has a section that's just like other stuff?
Yeah.
Just post this in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Just say how much you like the show.
Pretty sure there's a subreddit dedicated to podcasts. Just go on there and just like...
No, I'm not about that.
Shill us real hard.
Yeah, just bang the drum.
Maybe just buy like a... Bang the puddle. Some billboard space and put an ad up for us. Mm. It's only like a few grand. Maybe like, you know, a fan webpage where you can post your TIS fan fiction.
Maybe Tommy Wiseau.
Soccer erotica.
Yeah. Maybe Tommy Wiseau.
Maybe do something like that. Maybe stop sitting on your ass just listening to the podcast.
Yeah, make
it. Do something to help us out.
Yeah.
Maybe start a Patreon page for it. Yeah. Morgan needs a new kidney. And a new fridge.
Mainly the new fridge.
Help us out.
Cool. Well, anyway, let's just leave things there. So thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you.
And thank you, Scott.
Thank you, everybody.